Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And on this Palm Sunday, an unusual Palm Sunday, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you because we know that this entry into Jerusalem would begin a week like no other week. But at the end of it, Lord God, our Savior, would have done what he had come to do to save us. And so we thank you, Holy God. And for those who are watching and cannot be in church, cannot be in the sanctuary, Lord God, we lift up prayers for them. We know that their desire is to be among the other worshipers. All of our desires, Lord God, is to physically be among the other worshipers and to sing the great hosannas. Oh, Lord God, comfort your people. Comfort us this day. Lord God, we know that you're looking down from heaven, and we're doing our best to worship you. So have mercy, Lord God, now and speak a word for us. Speak a word of hope. Speak a word of love. Speak, Lord, for we're listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are truly our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, my sermon title today is Please Save Us, Lord Jesus. Please save us. In this brief article, it says, virus alters Holy Week celebration worldwide. Virus alters Holy Week celebration worldwide. It is worldwide that it has been altered, Holy Week celebration. The writer says, for Pope Francis at the Vatican and for Christians worldwide, from churches large and small, this will be an Easter like none other. The joyous message of Christ's resurrection will be delivered to empty pews. Worries about the coronavirus outbreak have triggered widespread cancellations of Holy Week processions and in-person services. Many pastors will preach on TV or online, tailoring sermons to account for the pandemic. All of us are trying to tailor our sermons to remember and to include. Many extended families will reunite via FaceTime and Zoom rather than around a communal table laden with an Easter feast on April 12. One person says, I'll miss Mass and the procession. This woman is 86, a retired teacher from Ecuador. But God knows better, she says. Will we miss the service? Yes, we do. Pope Francis, the first pontiff from Latin America, will be celebrating Mass for Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, and Easter in an near empty St. Peter's Basilica instead of in the huge square outside filled with worshipers, both Catholic and otherwise. Can you just visualize that? If you've been to Rome, you know that era of the Basilica, that huge area that is always jam-packed with Catholic believers and Christian believers. It's one of the big tourist places, and certainly during Holy Week, it is jam-packed. Yes, our world has been turned upside down, and we feel like we are in captivity. Not only are we in physical captivity, many folks feel as if they're in spiritual captivity. Because when you're weary and when you're afraid, It captures our very soul. It captures our very soul. And that is true. I've noticed on Facebook a couple of pastors. One pastor wrote a little blurb on Facebook that she doesn't even want to get up out of bed since this has happened. She's so weary, yet she has to minister to people. Minister to our flock. Our spirits get dragged. We have to be commanding our souls to praise the Lord. It is not easy, but here's the hope. The Lord is with us. And certainly, we will get the best we can for our efforts because heaven will be pleased. Palm Sunday is a Christian movable feast that falls on the Sunday before Easter. The feast commemorates Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, an event mentioned in each of the four Gospels. Palm Sunday marks the first day of Holy Week, the last week of the Christian solemn season of Lent that precedes the arrival of Eastertide, of Easter. But today, we must take the time to remember why Palm Sunday. It is sometimes called Palm Passion Sunday because the scriptures are broken up into two. There is the Passion Scriptures, and then there is the Palm Sunday Scripture. Today we are using the Palm Sunday Gospel because the Passion Gospel points more to Jesus' death. We've got the rest of the week to read that. And so we must also ask the question, why did Jesus ride into Jerusalem? Was Jesus just going to a party? Did Jesus just need a parade? Was Jesus lonely? Did he just need a group of people? You know, we love parades here in America. You know we do. Did he just need a parade? No. We read that as Jesus makes his way toward Jerusalem, the crowd hails him as David's son, shouting the words of Psalm 118, 25 to 26, a psalm chanted at major festivals and pilgrims as they approach the temple. And the words of that psalm you just heard, it says, Psalm 26, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. For the Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival procession with branches up to the horns of the altar." There was a reason why they were celebrating. Because the Psalms comes out of the Old Testament. And it had been predicted, you see. It celebrates God's steadfast love and deliverance of a righteous sufferer who endures rejection. Jesus himself would soon employ the same psalm, Psalm 118:22. Jesus would say, "The stone that the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in your eyes." And in a rebuke of Jerusalem ruling elite, Jesus would then make that statement. He had been the one who had been rejected, yet he would come. Come to do what? Right? Why the palms or the branches? You see, the word palm came much later. The word palms is not in the Bible, right? It is through the early church that people start using palms because of because of the Mediterranean area where the palms grew. There was a reason for him to come into Jerusalem. There was a desperate need for a Messiah. There was a need for a Messiah why Jesus would come. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, everyone knew a regime change was about to take place. This was the day that God's people had been praying for. They had been under the boot of Rome. They had been reduced to nothing more than puppet state. They had no king because the Romans wouldn't let them have one. They could still appoint high priests, but the Romans said no, that they would have to approve the high priests. and they would have to choose the high priest. And so the people were literally in captivity. Children of Israel were slaves in that time. They were under captivity to the Romans. And they were under physical captivity and spiritual captivity. Yes, they allowed them to worship. They allowed them to worship to go to the temple to pray to Yahweh. But the high priest and so on were in the pockets of the Romans. They were in the pockets of the Romans. So the people could not worship freely. And if you were, I don't know if many of you are watching, might have seen the Ten Commandments yesterday. I know it's in the Bible and we're supposed to read it, but it was a wonderful movie, and they always play it right before Passover. So I watched it again to remind me of the power of God to move in the world. It didn't got finished until something to 12, and I knew I had to be here, but I watched it just to get the hope of Christ and the hope of God in my heart and soul again, just to see God move for God's people, as God will move now for us, even in the midst of what we're going through. As I watched that movie, I'm reminded how important worship was, worship of God was to the Jewish people. As they left to go into the promised land, Joshua was going to bring them, Moses would not, and they were marching throughout, and they had the Ark of the Covenant. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Cecil DeMille did a marvelous job. The Ark of the Covenant they were carrying, that's where the Spirit of God was. And they were wanting to go to the temple to worship God. I know many of us who are watching today, we want to come to church to worship God today, don't we? We have that desire. We know that we could worship God in our houses and in our kitchen, wherever we are sitting, or in our bedrooms, or in our dining rooms. But we want to come to join the throngs of believers and to raise our hands and wave our palms and just sing hosannas. How much? Because it makes us feel better. Amen. Glory to God. It makes us feel better just to worship God. We want this God who parted the Red Sea to come again. Amen. We want to come again. Did you see that water stand up on the side in the movie? I know it's the movie, but Lord, God gave my heart such juice. It just gave me such adrenaline, spiritual adrenaline to know that my Redeemer still lives. Amen. As I watched it last night, I said, yes, God, you are the God that I'm calling out to. You are the God that we're seeking this morning. So yes, the people were in need of a Messiah. They would have been waiting. You see, but despite the crippling political power of the Romans, the Jews had not given up hope. Even though they were under the crippling rule of the Romans, they never gave up hope that their Messiah would come. They didn't know who the Messiah was going to be. But they were waiting, and they knew the Messiah would be out of the house of David. They were waiting for him. The ancient prophecies said a Savior would come, that a king would someday ride into Jerusalem to deliver God's people from the evil of the ungodly. I have come to declare to you that this coronavirus is an evil of the ungodly. It's a demonic plague. It's demonic in its nature. And so when I cry out to God, I cry out and ask God to bind up and destroy this evil that has come upon us, coming to destroy us and destroy our world the way we know it, and that this same God who sent Jesus would relent. They knew what the prophet Zechariah said. He says, I will guard my temple and protect it from invading armies. Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's coat. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. Zechariah the prophet had prophesied. The people had been waiting. They had been waiting like we are waiting. We may think we're just waiting since February and March, but we're waiting for to be redeemed out of this. We're waiting to be redeemed. They were waiting for years for their Messiah. And finally, it was happening. We too will have our finally. It will happen for us. We keep believing and holding on to God. Imagine with me, friends, what that day must have been like for the gathered crowd. Imagine. They had been waiting. Just if you could close your eyes for a moment and just imagine. The rabbis had said it would happen on Passover, that the Messiah would come and judge the ungodly. Well, it was Passover week. Like it's Passover week this week, right? Passover begins on Wednesday or Thursday, if my memory serves me right, but it's later in the week. It's Passover week again. Here we are, Passover week. How could folks say that this is not true? The Bible isn't true. Here it is, 2,000 years later, we have Passover and Easter week connecting again, just as it did at the very beginning. Amen. Oh my God. Could people see the signs of God in this? Huh? Can they see the sign of holy and divine in this? That Jesus would be righted into Jerusalem to come as a Savior, and it's Passover week. We are celebrating Him riding in on this Palm Sunday, and it's going to be Passover week. Nothing but God can do this. And so here it was. There are hundreds of thousands of Jews from all over the world who had come to Jerusalem for Passover. And they fill the streets. A victory parade starts to form at the edge of the city. A 2-mile parade that will go into the heart of Jerusalem. They were waiting. When you're desperate for something, you wait. Huh? You wait, you depend, you want it to happen. And so it says the people turn to each other and say, "This prophet from Nazareth, Jesus, he's the one. He has to be. He just healed the 2 people who were blind." It's incredible. Jesus had done the miracles. They had seen him do it, and they have believed. Do we believe that he's still the one? Do we believe that he could redeem us? So Jesus is coming, and he's coming. Could we just see it? He's coming. He's coming past now. He's coming past them. He's rocking slightly on as he rides down the steep hill from the Mount of Olives. People are waving and shouting. He's riding on a small donkey colt. That's just like what the prophet says. And as he come down, and if you're going to Israel, you see that old place. You know where Mount Olives is. And you could see the Kidron Valley. And you know when you go to Israel, you always go to that spot. And you know this is where Jesus came into Jerusalem. Huh? When you come to the Via Dolorosa, you could see the Kidron Valley. You know this is where he rode down. And as the people are standing there waving their palm branches, they're waving tree branches. Whatever thing that green that was growing on the road, they were waving. And they were calling out what? Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Do you know what the transliteration is for Hosanna in Hebrew? Please save. Please save. Hosanna is please save. That's what the transliteration means. Please save. Save us, so to speak. Right? It comes out of an Hebrew word. Please save. So they were waving it because they believed their king was coming. Their king is coming, and he's coming to save them. To save them. It was important to them, and it's important for us on this Palm Sunday to remember that. Look, your king is coming. He's coming. He is righteous and victorious. And Jesus isn't coming like the arrogant Roman generals on their war horses. He's coming in humility like Solomon did, the son of a king. He did not come as egotistical or boasting, but he was humble. Because he had come for a different rule, not an earthly rule, not an earthly rule, but an heavenly rule. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
And overwhelmed with joy, the people began to cry out, Jesus must be the one. They cried out, they cried out. They were praising the Lord. They ran and they cut the branches. When you read the history of that, they ran and they cut branches. All kinds of branches. So friends, as I wrote, sent you the letters, I said, get any green bush in your house, in your outside, in your yard today. Cut a piece and put it on your door and wave it in your house. It doesn't have to be a palm. Doesn't have to be a palm. They were cutting branches and waving it. And as he comes closer, the people are yelling. Now remember, now these are people who have been under captivity. These are people who have been broken and beaten and locked in. So even though we may feel that way, we too can rejoice.
Amen.
We too can rejoice. Right? Even though we may feel weak and weary, we too can rejoice today. Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise the new Son of David. You could hear them. Blessed is the King of Israel. All the pilgrims on that Passover were rejoicing to know that their Savior came. Now, friends, here we are on this Palm Sunday, and we are under captivity, physical captivity. Yes, we are. They told us last night that we're going to be under more captivity. Mm. But our Redeemer lives.
Amen.
Our Redeemer still lives. After 2,000 years, we may have forgotten that the church itself is God's prophetic sign, act, a living spectacle meant to reveal Christ's humble domain and to bring blessings to the world. So we who are in the church must stand boldly. Even when we're weak at knees or we're running scared like everybody else or fearful, we still have to stand boldly and declare and proclaim on this Palm Sunday that our Redeemer lives. That's what we're doing here today. Don't feel like we're not as concerned about ourselves like everybody else. Because we're not naive, but we're holding on to God's unchanging hands, right? We're not going to sit and just wallow in it until we can't come anymore. But as long as we could come, we're coming to give God the glory and give him the praise. As long as we could show up, we're going to show up. And on this Palm Sunday, as we remember that he lives, thanks be to God. At times, the church is a sign of judgment, and at times, the sign of redemption. But today, we want the church to mean a sign of redemption. A sign to remind us that we are redeemed people. So wherever you are, if you have a green branch or a piece of cloth, whatever you have in your house, wave it and say with me, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
And Lord knows I'm going to take my branch here. And as I wave my branch to symbolize Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Because he will come to save us. The psalmist says to us, oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. And then it goes and says, let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever.
Amen.
Let the members of Hicksfield United Methodist Church, wherever you are, say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let everybody who's watching say, whether believer or non-believer is watching, say, his steadfast love endures forever. For as the psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord, Oh Lord, we beseech you, give us success, says the psalmist. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Oh, hallelujah. Bind the festival procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. For you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. For he is our God, and we will extol him. And then it ends with, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. My last thought on this is that the same Jesus who came 2,000 years ago to save us from eternal damnation, not only did he save the Jewish people that day, he saved all of humanity. Because we remember this particular scripture, the Bible in miniature, for God so loved the world. And he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
And because of that, we can rejoice, even when we're weeping. Because we know the psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I am looking for the day when joy will come in the morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Will again stand and rejoice. When we will stand, we may not have palm branches, but we'll have whatever we have. We'll raise our hands. We'll wave to the heavens. And we'll say, thank you, Jesus, for bringing us out of this pandemic. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for all of your blessing. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring us.
Hallelujah.
We'll be able to cry out to him. We'll be able to bow to him. Some will have lost loved ones. We don't know what's going to happen to any of us. But what we do know is that our Redeemer lives.
Amen.
And we will trust in him. And we'll hold on to his unchanging hands. So wherever you are on this Palm Sunday, you may be alone in your home today. I want to just say to you, remember, your Redeemer lives. And because he lives, we could all face
tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.